பிரம்மார்ப்பணம் பிரம்மஹவிஹி. பிரம்மாக்னௌ ப்ரஹ்மணாஹுதம். பிரம்மார்ப்பணம் பிரம்மஹவிஹி. பிரம்மாக்னௌ ப்ரஹ்மணாஹுதம். பிரம்மைவ தேன கந்தவ்யம். பிரம்ம கர்ம சமாதினா. பிரம்மைவ தேன கந்தவ்யம். பிரம்ம கர்ம சமாதினா. ஸ்லோகா 23, the previous ஸ்லோகா, கிருஷ்ண பாயிண்டட் அவுட் சமக்ரம் கர்ம பிரவிலீயதே. யஜ்ஞார்த்தம் கர்ம சமக்ரம் பிரவிலீயதே. ஆல் தீஸ் கர்மாஸ் டன் ஃபார் தி சேக் ஆஃப் யஜ்ஞா. யஜ்ஞார்த்தம் பிரவிலீயதே. இட் வில் பி டிசால்வ். இட் வில் டிசால்வ் வித்தவுட் பைண்டிங் த பர்சன், வித்தவுட் காசிங் சம்சாரா, வித்தவுட் காசிங் புண்ணிய பாபா. தே வில் ஆல் பி டிசால்வ். Whom says this? The grahastha jnani, pravritti margastha jnani, the one who is still in the grahastha ashrama but who is living the life of a jnani. That is, karma does not produce punya papam for this particular grahastha jnani. Then the question is how this happens, how the karma done for the sake of yajna does not produce the result. The result is punya papam. So when the karma is done for the sake of yajna, how it does not produce punya papam will be the question. So what is the logic behind it? And the essence of this loka is what, even though this jnani, he also performs karma like everybody else in the grahastha ashrama, he has got only one buddhi, namely brahma buddhi, in everything he does. So whatever he does it with the Brahma Buddhi, the Brahman vision alone he has. He does not have any other vision at all. For him, all the accessories of karma are also Brahman. So everything he sees only Brahman alone, he doesn't see anything else. So we have to now see the difference between an Ajnani's karma and also a Jnani's karma. We have to differentiate between these two. Ajnani, what he does? Ajnani sees only differences in karma. Whatever karma he does, he sees only differences in the karma. What are the things, the differences he sees? Aham karta. First thing he sees, I am aham karta, I am the doer. And also, idam karanam. This is the equipment. He differentiates himself with the equipment, from between the equipment and himself. So this is the instrument with which I am doing this karma. Idam karanam. Idam karma, this is the work I am doing. This is the activity being done. And idam karma phalam also, by doing this karma, I am going to get this result. So he has got all these Vedas. Okay. So this is the place, idam sthanam, this is the place I am doing the karma. Wherever he does, this is the place I am doing. And these are all the accessories with which I am doing the karma, karakaha. So karanam, karaka, karta, sthanam, all these differences the ajnani sees. He sees all of them. So, karta, the subject, I am the subject, karanam, the instrument, karma, the object, adhikaranam, the place or the locus, and finally, phalam, the fruit of this karma. All these differences are seen by this ajnani karta. So, he sees all these differences. So, the subject is different from the instrument. I am different from the instrument, different from the locus, different from the result. All those things are all happening. And with this Veda Buddhi, this person is doing the action all the time. So when he does action, he has this Veda Buddhi. And when the action takes place with Veda Buddhi, what happens? It will definitely produce Punya Papam only. Because you got Vedas. Good karmas will give good results. Bad karmas will give rise to bad results. So this, so long as this Vedam is there, the Punya Papam will naturally come. And when they come, they will bind him also. Whereas in the case of a Jnani, what he does? The jnani, the Vedas are all not there at all. He looks at them only superficially. There are differences superficially. But substantially, there is no difference between any of them. That is what the jnani understands. That is what the jnani lives that life. So he sees all these differences only as superficial. These Vedas are only superficial. Essentially, Karta is Brahman, Karanam is also Brahman, then Karma is also Brahman, whatever action he does is also Brahman, and Adhikaranam, and finally the result also is Brahman. So for him there is no difference at all between the Karta and the Papam, Punya Papam, no difference at all between any of them. So Sarvam Brahmamayam Jagate. That is the attitude with which Ajnani does Karma. That is the difference. So it is like what? For example, if there are two friends, they are together acting in a drama. And during the drama, at the stage, they will be fighting, shouting at each other, all those things can happen. The moment the drama is over, when they come back, what happens at that time? There is no such thing like any fighting or anything. They know that it is only a vesham that they have put. Okay. They only put a vesham there, and then there is nothing to do with the reality at all. They understand very well. Okay. So this is exactly the samagram praviliyate. Everything is resolved since all shoutings, etc. are all only at the vesham level, only at the acting level, none of them are at the reality level. They understand that. And that is what is said here. In the vision of a jnani, everything is Brahman only. In the vision of a jnani, everything is only Brahman, Brahma, Arpanam, etc. All those things are only Brahman. So here in this shloka, Krishna as an example, he takes an yaga karma, an yajna karma as an example. One can take any karma, but here he is taking yaga karma as an example. So a sacrifice is taken, where there is an yajamana, a karta will be there, he is doing the yajna, there should be an agni kunda, right, where you are doing ahutis. So there should be an agni kunda, oblations are offered, there should be a wooden spadle with which you can take the ghee and all that thing and offer to the agni, all those things are needed. So Krishna takes all of them as examples here. So he says, Arpanam, Brahma Arpanam, Arpanam. Arpanam here means the ladle. The ladle, the spoon with which you take the ahuti and then give it to the agni. That's what you do. Normally Arpanam means offering. Here it is the offering instrument. The offering instrument itself is called Arpanam. So Arpyate Anena Iti Arpanam. So that's what is said here, Arpyate Anena. So the wooden ladle, technically it is called the chamas. Actually, there was a rishi, he is called Mahachamas. Mahachamas yapravedayate. He always has a big chamas with his hand, always ready to do yajna. So he is called by that name itself. A person, the rishi with the big chamas is called Mahachamas. Mahachamas yapravedayate. So this chamas is the, it's a karana, it's an instrument. Karana. So Brahma Havihi. So the karana instrument is Brahman, Brahmarpanam. Then Brahma Havihi, Havi is the oblation. Havi is oblation, it could be rice, it could be ghee, it could be any padartha, which you offer to the Agni. So Brahma Havihi, so that is also Brahman. The karma is Brahman, the oblation, it's a karma, that is also Brahman. Brahma Agnav, the Agni in which it is offered, that is also Brahman. Brahma Agnav, the Agni is also Brahman, the Adhikarana, into which the offering is made, that also is Brahman. And Brahmanahutam, the one who is doing the offering, the one by whom the offering is done, the yajamana, the karta, he is also Brahman, the ritualist. The karta also is Brahman. That is the outlook of a jnani. That's what we are talking. And finally, Brahmaiva Gantavyam. That is most important. The palam that is attained out of this karma also is Brahman. So for him, karta is Brahman, karanam is Brahman, karma is Brahman, adhikaranam is Brahman, the palam also is Brahman for this jnani. So Gandhavya means destination, the goal. The goal or the result, the palam. That also is Brahman. So palam, karta, karma, karanam, adhikaranam are Brahman. Padi jnana. So he knows that all these are only nama, rupa and karma. That we have already told. Adhikaranam, these are all nama, rupa and karma only. Substantially, there is no difference at all. When they are nama, rupa and karma, they belong to what? Atma or anatma? They belong to anatma. So all these nama rupas and karmas, they belong only to the anatma. They do not belong to the atma. So at the level of atma, there is no nama, no rupa, no karma. At the level of atma. So it's like the example of wave and water that we have seen all the time. Wave and water. But we see that when we look at the wave alone, what we do? We will see the wave rise, the wave fall, the wave has a death. We see all of them when we look at individually each wave. The wave rises at some point in time, it goes to the shore and it dies. So we see all the time, this was the movement of the wave, we see all of them. So, but the rise, the movement, the death are out there only when we see the nama, rupa and karma of the wave. When you see them only as water, there is no wave at all. What wave disappears, you see substantially only water in and through all the waves. That's what we do all the time. So, water is not born in the ocean. Is water born in the ocean? It is not born in the ocean. It is not dying in the ocean either. Water doesn't die in the ocean either. So, it is water will be all the time also. So, when the wave goes away also, water remains. So, ocean, water was not created by the ocean. Water was there all the time. So, water is not going to die in the ocean. So, even the movement of waves is also an illusion only. When we say waves move, do the waves really move? No. It is also an illusion only, because if normally the people observe, normally they say if you go all the way into the ocean, about maybe maybe 1 mile into the ocean, there is no wave. It's all calm ocean. When it comes on deep, when the air moves it, so it appears as it moves only, the power is transferred from this to the next one. That water stays wherever it is only. So this is how it appears. It appears as if they move. It is only an illusory effect. It is not the effect really that they move. So if you really leave a wooden piece in 1 mile away in that, one can actually normally notice the wooden piece only goes up and down there. If you leave a boat or something like that, or even anchor, it will go up and down only in that place. It doesn't get moved because there is no wave moving it, no wind forcing it. So if wave is traveling to the shore, along with it, the wood piece also would have come. But it doesn't. Because the wave is not moving. So only the wave power is transferred from this water to the next water, to the next water, to the next adjacent water, these things, and it moves on. So the wave remains there, where only the energy, the push alone moves, it alone transfers. So for us it appears as if the wave is moving. That's the illusion. Okay. So really speaking, the wave never moved anywhere, it remains there only 1 mile away inside the ocean. So these are all only illusions. Similarly, it is said here, in the vision of a jnani, when you look at the vision of a jnani, arpana, Brahma, you know, he does not see the wooden spoon and this wooden spoon, it's different from any of those things, but for him, it is Brahman only. That's what he sees. And such a person who has such a vision is called Brahma. Krishna gives a nice title to him, Brahma Karma Samadhinaha. That is the title Krishna gives to such a person, such a jnani, Brahma Karma Samadhi. It's a beautiful title. Or Jnana Karma Sannyasi or Vidvat Sannyasi. We can call all these people the same name. Brahma Karma Samadhi or Jnana Karma Sannyasi or Vidvat Sannyasi. Pravritti Margatha, you know, Sannyasi. We have given all these names earlier. So, he is called Brahma Karma Samadhi. So, what is Brahma Karma Samadhi actually? Brahma Karma means what? Brahma Karma means Brahma Eva Karma. Brahma Eva Karma. There is nothing else. All the activities that you do is only Brahman and nothing else. Brahma Eva Karma is Brahma Karma. So the karma is nothing but Brahman alone, that vision. Whatever activity he does, it is nothing but Brahman alone. So it is the darshanam eva Brahma Karma. The darshan, the outlook, the way you look at it, that itself is Brahman here. So darshan. So that Brahman alone is the karma. That means all factors involved in karma are also Brahman. The entire karma is Brahman. All the factors involved in the karma are also Brahman. So, Brahmaiva karma, Brahmaiva karta, Brahmaiva karanam, all those things, Brahmaiva adhikaranam, all those things, iti darshanam. So, the outlook that all these things are only Brahman, that outlook is called Brahma karma. And Brahma karmani samadhi esya. Brahma karmani samadhi esya. One who is always absorbed in this thought, one who is always absorbed in this vision. What vision it is? Sarvatra Brahma darshanam. Looking at Brahman alone in everything he does and he is associated with it. Sarvatra Brahma darshanam, that is the vision he has. So of seeing Brahman in everything. That is called Brahma karma samadhi. Brahmarpanam, Brahma kavihi, Brahmagno, Brahmanagudam, Brahma ivatayakundam, Brahma karma. So, the Brahma Karma Samadhi. So, for him, Samadhi is not sitting in seclusion somewhere. He is not sitting in seclusion in some other place in a corner and withdrawing from all the activities of the world. No. He is engaged in all the activities of the world, no problem at all. But what is Samadhi? All the time, the awareness. They are all Brahma. They are only Nama, Rupa and Karma. Superficially only are different. Substantially, they are one and the same. They are only Brahma. So, that attitude. So samadhi is not all the trance or any of those things, you know, in meditation you close your eyes, half closed, full closed, and you will get some vision, some light will appear. None of those things are for this jnani. None of those things appear. Also, there is no blue light, red light, green light. None of those things appear. He is in samadhi, means always, ever alert to the fact that everything is Brahman and Brahman alone. That is what he knows. So, he continues to look at the world. He continues to look at the world. All the superficial differences he sees. Because it is a Brahman, when an elephant runs to him, he doesn't sit quiet. He runs away also. Because it's Brahman. Oh, that is also Brahman. I am Brahman. Why move? No, because the superficial differences have to be acknowledged. That he acknowledges. But substantially he knows that in and through all of them, everything is Brahman only. So, what is the definition of samadhi now? Never forgetting Brahman is samadhi. So, here samadhi means it's not sitting someplace in seclusion or anything. It is never forgetting Brahman alone is the only thing in and through everything. That knowledge, that awareness. So, samadhi is absorption in Brahman. Samadhi is absorption in Brahman, not losing sight of Brahman. In reality, to have that thing is very difficult because we normally get carried away only by the differences we see. The differences, they all are there. You cannot discount them, but they are only superficial. So, he has to see all of them. So, a grahastha jnani, he need not withdraw from everything to be in samadhi. He is in grahastha ashrama. In the field of all the activities around the home, he is there. Children are running, there is always fight between this and that. All those things are all happening. So he sees all of them. And in spite of seeing all of them, he knows in and through all of them, Brahma buddhi alone he has. So that is samadhi. That one is called samadhi. He is absorbed in Brahman in and through everything in creation. So Brahma karma samadhinaha. Jnaninaha. Brahma karma samadhinaha is jnaninaha. That wise person. So all the actions are all resolved into that thing. And so he does not have kartrutva buddhi. Right? The doership attitude he doesn't have. Aham karta attitude he doesn't have. Kartrutva buddhi is not there. And he does not have karma also. Because when there is no kartrutva, where is karma? There is no karma also. And so because when there is no karma also, there is no punyam and papam. Punyam papam means no samsara. No samsara, no rebirth. So that for jnani, he is a jivan muktaha. That person is a jivan muktaha. Nothing will affect him. So even though he is in the field of karma, engaged in karma all the time, even violently sometimes, it does not affect this jnani at all because he doesn't have the kartrutva buddhi. He looks at everything only as Brahman. Brahman vishon. He is not looking at them as even as embodiment of Brahman. He is looking at them as Brahman. There is nothing other than Brahman that this jnani knows. So with that attitude, with that outlook, when he conducts activity, punya papam is not affecting him. Nabadhyate. Daivam eva pare yajnyam.
Daivam eva pare yajnyam. Daivam eva pare yajnyam.
Yogina paryupasate.
Yogina paryupasate. Yogina paryupasate.
Daivam eva pare yajnyam. Yogina paryupasate.
Daivam eva pare yajnyam. Yogina paryupasate. Daivam eva pare yajnyam. Yogina paryupasate.
Brahma gnava pare yajnyam.
Brahma gnava pare yajnyam. Brahma gnava pare yajnyam.
Yajnenai vopajukvati.
Yajnenai vopajukvati.
Brahmagnavapare yajnyam, yajnenai vopajuhvati.
Brahmagnavapare yajnyam, yajnenai vopajuhvati. Brahmagnavapare yajnyam, yajnenai vopajuhvati.
So with the previous shloka, the main topic of jnana karma sannyasa, that is concluded. So with the 24th shloka, the topic of this particular section is called Brahma Karma Sannyasa. That topic is concluded. Where it started in the 18th shloka. 18th Karmanya Karmaya Pashyet. That shloka, 18th shloka, it started. And from there, the Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga topic was discussed. And it is concluded in the 24th shloka, which is just now. So this shloka alone, all these 18 to 24, these shlokas alone, they are so important topic for this particular chapter. So this is called Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. based on these lokas 18 to 24. So now Krishna wants to glorify the jnana, this knowledge. He wants to glorify this jnana, and also this is jnana stuti. Krishna wants to start now the jnana stuti, the glorification of this knowledge. That is 25th shloka to 33rd shloka. He is going to devote all these shlokas to discuss the glory of this jnana, this knowledge. So how does Krishna glorify jnana here? He takes up varieties of spiritual sadhanas. He takes the varieties of spiritual sadhanas. Japa is a spiritual sadhana. Puja is a sadhana. Parayana is a sadhana. So pranayama, there are sadhanas, various sadhanas. He takes all these sadhanas. And all these sadhanas, he compares them to various types of yajna. So whatever sadhana you do a puja, you do a parayana. He compares all of them with these various types of yajna. Because all of them being spiritual sadhana, he compares them to yajna. Yeah, there are spiritual sadhana, so he compares them to yajna. So pranayama yajna, then parayana yajna, whatever it is, he compares them. And in this list, he includes jnanam also as an yajna. The knowledge itself, he includes that also as an yajna. See, that is the way how Krishna looks at it. He looks at jnanam also as an yajna here, so it's called jnana yajna. So a series of yajnas are given here, all indicating one sadhana or the other. All these yajnas indicate one sadhana or the other. And the pursuit of self-knowledge itself is going to be compared to an yajna. Pursuit of self-knowledge, that is a jnana yajna. And finally, what Krishna is going to conclude? Among all these yajnas, the various sadhanas, various yajnas, jnana yajna alone is the superior most. That is the highest yajna. That's what he is going to conclude. So that is supreme, the highest. Jnana yajna alone. So sarvesham sadhananam yajnatvam sampadya jnanam jnana yajnasya mahima varnanam. That is the topic here. Jnana yajnasya mahima is being talked here. The glorification of jnana yajna. So comparing all the sadhanas to yajna and praising jnana yajna as the highest one supreme. Now, why jnana yajna alone should be the highest? Krishna will explain it later. So why jnana yajna alone has to be higher? Because every sadhana is a lot of shraddha is involved, so much of effort is involved. Why jnana yajna is the supreme most? He is going to discuss it later. He will tell you that at some other point in time. But the main reason we already know, why jnana alone gives what? Moksha. All other sadhanas do not give moksha. Jnana alone gives moksha. So jnana yajna should be the highest. So that is the obvious conclusion that we can make. Krishna will discuss further later. But we definitely can understand very quickly that jnana yajna alone is the only way through which one can get moksha. So that should be the supreme most, the highest of yajnas. All other sadhanas, they cannot lead to liberation directly. They may make a person maybe a karma yogi. And from a karma yogi, then you have to go through the jnana marga. And having gained, you know, jnana, one can go to moksha. So none of them can directly lead to liberation, whereas jnana alone can give rise to liberation immediately. The moment jnana comes, immediately person is liberated. There is no waiting time there. To gain jnana, you might wait for a long time, maybe several janmas. Moment is acquired, it is immediate. There is no waiting anymore at all. So, jnani is glorious. That is going to be the topic here. And the various sadhanas, they are all going to be compared to a jnana or an yaga. That's what we said. That's going to be the topic. There are symbolic representations. All these sadhanas comparing to a yajna or a yaga symbolically. So, because in a yajna you need so many things. So, he is now comparing to any of the yajnas. So, the literal meaning of an yajna is what? Is offering something into fire. That is yajna. In an yajna, what you do? You offer, you take something, it is harvest. You take ghee or you take rice or whatever it is, samit, all those things you offer, oblation, into the fire. So what is that for? To please various devatas. Correct? So devata. So devato deshena agnav dravyaha. Dravyaha is havish. Havishi tyagaha is the definition of an yajna. So the tyaga of various materials into the Agni to please various devatas. That is called an yajna. Generally, that is a definition of yajna. But in this section, Krishna compares all sadhanas into yaga. So, what? All these are all symbolic yagas. You do a puja, symbolic yaga. you do something else, some other upasana, symbolic yaga. So whatever you do, he compares them to an yajna. So when you compare them to a symbolic yaga, what should be there? There should be a symbolic fire. There should be a symbolic ahuti. There should be a symbolic instrument. There should be a symbolic karta. All should be there, right? In yajna, all these things are needed. Then only yajna can be done. So how Krishna is interpreting all these various sadhanas into an yajna, that is interesting to see. So the oblation must be offered into the fire. And the fire also has to consume the oblation. Cannot just to put something there, fire will not consume. Of course, fire consumes everything. So you have to put, fire has to consume. And after that oblation, what will remain? Once the something is offered to the fire consumes the oblation. What remains? The fire alone will remain. And oblation is consumed. So fire alone will remain and the oblation is consumed. This way we have to study all the sadhanas, and when we study actually, it will become very clear how Krishna associates them to various yajnas will become clear. Now the first one we take here is the highest yajna, the jnana yajna itself we will take first. Because once we understand that, other things will become easily understandable. So we will take the jnana yajna first. So Vedanta jnana, this is not jnana in chemistry or physics. This is Vedanta Jnana is what we are taking here, and this itself is going to be compared to an yajna. Vedanta Jnana itself is going to be compared to an yajna. So if Vedanta Jnana is going to be an yajna, then the question is what is the fire for this yajna? For Vedanta Jnana, we are talking Vedanta Jnana. This is not sitting somewhere in presence of Agnikunda and putting something. Vedanta Jnana is the yajna. So for this, what is the fire and what is the oblation? What is the fire? What is the oblation? Who is the karta? So these are all questions. And it is actually very, very interesting. The way it is said here is, Brahman or Paramatma or the real self, that is the Agni. In this Jnana Yajna, Brahman or Paramatma or the real self, in Advaita, all of them say. So that is considered to be the Agni. Agni is that. And what is the oblation? The Jivatma is the oblation. For this yajna, Paramatma Agni, oblation is given what? Jivatma is the oblation, which is the false self. That's why there we said the real self, Paramatma. This is the false self or the ego or the ahankara. That is the oblation. You pour the ahankara oblation into the fire of Paramatma. And Paramatma Agni will consume this ahankara. What will remain? Paramatma alone will remain. Right? So this ahankara is offered into the as an oblation. And the fire is what? The original I. Original I, capital I. The other I is what? The small I is what? Is always a crooked I. Crooked I is the limited I. The original I is the tall, block, bold I. That is the Paramatma I, the self. And the small I is the ego I, the ahankara I. That is the crooked I. That is the limited I. And that I is offered into the original I. That original I consumes this ahankara I. So that is the oblation that is being given here. So now what happens in the Vedanta Vichara now? Before Vedanta Vichara, this is what? This is at the time of Jnana, Jnana Yajna. Before that, what happens? Before this Vichara, what did I start with? Aham Samsari. That was my Buddhi. Right? Aham Brahmasmi Buddhi was not there. Aham Samsari Buddhi alone was there. So Aham Samsari. So every student starts as Aham Samsari. That is the attitude with which he starts. So that samsari is the ego. That samsari attitude, that is the ego, that is the ego I. Samsari I is the ego I. And at the end of the Vedantic study, once he understands Vedanta, if he really studied properly, that's all you have to understand, then the aham samsari attitude is swallowed, is consumed, and in that place what happens? What comes? Aham asamsari brahma asmi. That comes. So aham samsari goes away and aham asamsari brahma asmi attitude comes in. Okay, that's what happens. So the aham brahma asmi fire has completely consumed what? The aham samsari oblation. So at the time of knowledge, the aham samsari oblation is completely consumed by this agni, which is the paramatma agni, aham brahma asmi agni. So this is compared to one. So this knowledge itself is compared to an yajna where the samsari attitude is consumed by Brahma. Okay. So this is the first yaga, which is said actually in the second line of the 25th shloka that we just read. Apare. Apare means, refers to all the mumukshus. Mumukshus means the people who are craving to gain liberation. Moksha. So all these people are, they are mumukshus. Okay. So Vedanta Vichara Kartaraha. They are mumukshus. The people who are engaged in Vedanta Vichara, Vedantic inquiry. So Vedantic seekers. These are all the Vedantic seekers. Then what happens? Yajnam Upajuhvati. Yajnam Upajuhvati. Actually, here we have to carefully note, yajnam is what? Jivatmanam yajna. So for Jivatmanam, here means the Jivatma, the small eye, is offered. It's the crooked eye, is offered. And the big eye is a straight eye, that's a Paramatma eye. So the small eye, Jivatma, and that is offered to what? Brahmagnav. Brahmagnav, into the fire of Brahman. Into the fire of Brahman, it is offered the big eye. So some Vedantic seekers, some mumukshus, they offer the Jivatma into the fire of Paramatma. So that is the yajna they are performing. Okay. And who does the offering? Offering is done by whom? Offering is also done by the Jivatma only. So Jivatma is offering itself into the fire means while it's committing suicide. The Jivatma at the time of knowledge is committing suicide to remove that jnana. Right? That's what it does. So because Jivatma alone gains this knowledge. This Jivatma alone gains this knowledge. So Ahankara alone gains the knowledge. Jivatma is Ahankara. So that alone gains the knowledge. The Vedantic knowledge also is gained by Ahankara only. Understand that? We have to be clear about that. Once the knowledge comes, Ahankara goes away. But in the process of getting knowledge, who does? This Ahankari Jivatma alone gets. He alone does that. So, and he commits suicide, as it were, if you want to say that, giving place to Aham Brahma Asmi Baba. So for that Baba, he does that. So Yajnena. By the Jivatma himself or herself, Jivatma, by Jivatma, offers the Jivatma into Paramatma. Jivatma, by Jivatma, offers the Jivatma into Paramatma. Right? That is why when they talk about bhakti, they talk about various grades of bhakti. In bhakti also, there is Navavida bhakti. In Narada Bhakti Sutras, he is giving Navavida bhakti. What are the Navavida bhakti? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Final start is Shravanam. If you cannot sing yourself, listen. When somebody is singing bhajans and kirtans, listen to it at least first. Then if you can, kirtan, you yourself can sing. Go through these stages. And finally, Atmanivedanam. You do Atmarpanam. That is how you gain, that is the Navavida Bhakti, that is how Narada has told. So we start with listening to the glory of the Lord, we do pujanam and all those things we do, and in all these things, we offer something or other to the Lord. When you do puja, what do? You offer some flowers. When you do some homa, you offer some oblation, so many things. Or if you cannot do, you offer money, you do so many things. In everything, you offer something to the Lord in that yajna. So when it comes to Atmanivedanam, what is it you are offering? You are offering your ahankara. You are offering your own ego to the Lord. That's what you do. See, we offer everything else to the Lord except ourselves. That's what we don't do. Tera tujiko arpan. That's what we tell all the time. Whatever is belonging to you, I give it to you. But what we don't give? All the other things we give, we do not give the ego to the Lord. Still, I have given. I have offered $10,000 to build Guru Ayurveda temple. Put my name somewhere. This is what we think. Because attitude is what? The ego always shows up. It doesn't get up. So, they are all good initially, no problem. That's fine, somebody has to give and then only, you know, all these noble things can happen. Somebody has to give. But ultimately, one has to understand who is the giver, who is the receiver, what is being given. All those attitudes. And when you come to Vedanta, all these things will get resolved completely. So this Triputi, the giver, the giving, and the given, all will resolve at the time of Vedanta. Till that time, you have got all these differences. Nama, Rupa, Karma will be there. So Atma here means what? The Jivatma. Here the Atma means Jivatma, the ego. The I am Bhakta attitude. I am a great Bhakta. I am a great, myself, declaring myself, I am a great Bhakta. Right? So that attitude. I am the offerer. I donated all this attitude. So I am karta, aham karta attitude. That is that crooked eye. So that eye must be offered as an ajna, as an offering. So that is the biggest offering. Compared to any other offering one can think, this offering is the biggest offering where the jivatma is offered to the paramatma. Right? Okay. So jivatma offered to the paramatma means what? Jivatma merges into paramatma. Offering means merges into paramatma. Paramatma consumes the jivatma and remains what? Ekam. Remains only one. There is no two at that time. All things resolve into one. It is kevalam advaitam. There is no dvaitam at all at that time. Everything is totally resolved. It is only advaitam, satyam, that alone remains. Okay. But this merger, is it an action? This merger is not an action. This merger is what? Is wisdom. This merger is knowledge. So this is not an action. We don't have to do an yajna, taking some ghee and all that thing to offer somewhere. Oh, this is jivatma ghee. I am going to offer into this paramatma fire. There is no need. This is simple wisdom. This can be done where? You don't have to go to Kashi. You don't have to go to Rameshram anywhere. It can be done wherever you are. You can sit here. You can sit there. You can sit on a road, in a car, anywhere. Doesn't matter. This knowledge can come in any place. So this yajna can be done in any place, regardless of any sthanam, punyasthanam, no need at all. All those things are all for the purposes. You can get this jnanam anywhere. So Atmanivedanam takes place only with Vedanta Vichara. Only in Vedantic inquiry, this Atmanivedanam will come, otherwise this will not come. This is called Parabhaktihi. Krishna is going to talk about Aparabhakti and Parabhakti later. We will spend a lot of time in that. This is called Parabhakti. So there is actually a very beautiful slogan here. Tyaja dharmam adharmancha. Ube satyandrite tyaja. Ube satyandrite tyaktvam yenatye tyajatim tatyaja. That is a beautiful sloka. Giving everything to the Lord. Whether you have got a good possession or a bad possession. Whatever is good and bad doesn't matter at all. Good thoughts or evil thoughts. Offer everything to the Lord. That is the beginning of spirituality. I don't have good thoughts. I don't have bad thoughts. Everything is Lord's thoughts only. Starts with that. There is no comparison of good and bad. You do not have gradation. Offer everything to the Lord. Everything is offered to the Lord. But what is the culmination of this entire giving? Having given all good and bad thoughts to the Lord, in the end, that I with which you give everything. That's what it says, you know, yena tyajati tad yajaya. Whatever, after giving everything, whatever is remaining, that I itself you offer. Tad yajaya. That also you offer. Yena tyajati. Yena ahankarena sarvam tyajati. That's what it says. So tam ahankaram api tyaja. Give that ahankaram also. So this ahankara oblation or jivatma offering, that is considered the biggest of it. Among all ajñas, this is considered to be the biggest ajña. Why? Because after this ajña, no other ajña is done, can be done. There is no karta at all. Once this ajña is done, no other ajña can be done by this person. He has offered himself, ahankara is gone. There is no doership doer anymore. So nothing else can be given at all, because there is no doership also, there is no doer also. So the one who does the yajna himself is God in this process. Okay. So Atma Ahutihi, it is called Atma Ahutihi or Atma Havihi, Atma Tyaga. When you say Atma Tyaga, sometimes people consider this similar to the suicide stuff. It is not that Atma Tyaga, that is a sin. To try to curtail one's life before the prarabdha ends is a sin. One should not do that. Atma Tyaga is papa. Whereas that Atma here, that is body. Here Atma Tyaga is not that. Okay, this Atma Tyaga is the ego is gone. The ahankara is gone. So which is said here, Brahma Agna Vapare Yajnam Yajnenaiva Upajukvati. So some Vedantic seekers, they offer the Jivatma by the Jivatma himself into the Paramatma. That is the essence of this particular sentence. Okay. And here afterwards, all other sadhanas Krishna is going to talk about. So this is first the sadhana where? The yajna is what? The jivatma offering itself into the fire of Paramatma, considered to be the highest of yajnas. Now Krishna is going to talk about other yajnas also. And in the first line what he says, a normal yaga is mentioned. In the first line, Krishna mentions about a normal yaga, not a symbolic yaga. This was a symbolic yaga, where we assumed some fire and some ahuti, all those things. Now it's a normal yaga. And who performed that yaga? Yoginaha. Yoginaha means, which yogi it is? Jnana yogi or karma yogi?
Karma
yogi. So this is a normal yajna offered by a karma yogi. So yoginaha refers to karma yogi. So karma yoginaha, grahastha. The grahastha karma yogi, who is in the grahastha ashrama? He is talking about that person. So some grahasthas, some karma yogis, paryupasate, perform. They perform the yajna, daivam yajnam. So some grahasthas, they perform some yajna to appreciate, to propitiate to some devatas, daivam yajnam. They do that. This yajna meant to worship some devata. They perform some yajnas to worship some devata, which is in the form of what? Offering oblations to the fire itself, physically. You have ghee, you have all those things, you offer them directly into the fire, physically. Like what? You know, Agnaya Swaha, Indraya Swaha, Om Namo Rudraya Pasupataye Swaha. You offer all these things into the fire, reciting all these mantras. So all the various devatas are invoked and offerings are all given for them into the fire. That is the normal yajna. So this is one of the sadhanas. Some people perform this yajna. They are not jnana yajna, they don't know. They perform this yajna to propitiate various devatas. And then what do they do? Here we are going to get now the various sadhanas which Krishna is prescribing here, which he is discussing about the various other yajnas. Shrotradin indriyanyanye.
Shrotradin indriyanyanye. Shrotradin indriyanyanye.
Samyamagni
shujuhvati. Samyamagni shujuhvati.
Shrotradin indriyanyanye. Samyamagni shujuhvati.
Shrotradin indriyanyanye. Samyamagni shujuhvati. Shrotradin indriyanyanye. Samyamagni shujuhvati.
Shabdadin vishayanyanya. Vishayananya.
Shabdadin vishayanyanya. Shabdadin vishayanyanya.
Indriyagni shujuhvati. Shabdadin vishayananya indriyagnishu juhvatim.
Shabdadin vishayananya indriyagnishu juhvatim. Shabdadin vishayananya indriyagnishu juhvatim.
So in the previous shloka, 25th shloka, Krishna talked about two yajnas. One yajna is offering the jivatma into the paramatma. We call it Brahma yajna, whatever it is. So Brahmani jivatmanaha tyaga. That was what given there. That is the first yajna. And the second one was a daiva yajna. People who offer the karma yogi, offering so many things to please so many devatas. Both Krishna mentioned that. And in this loka, Krishna is talking about two sadhanas. Two more sadhanas. And the first line, the sadhana mentioned is dama, or sense control. We have already seen this thing. Dama means sense control and shama is mind control. This is dama. That is the sadhana, sense control. And another name for the dhamma, sense control, Krishna is giving it here, Indriya Samyamaha. Indriya Samyamaha. Samyamaha means control. So Indriya Samyamaha means sense control. Indriyas are senses, so sense control. So if sense control is to be compared to an yajna, so now we are considering sense control as an yajna. Right? So if sense control is considered an yajna, then the question is going to be what is the fire? And what is the oblation? They have to be there. So if sense control is the yajna, what is the fire and what is the oblation? And Krishna says, sense control is symbolically, that itself represents the fire. So symbolically, sense control represents the fire. Right? And what is the oblation? The sense organs are symbolic of oblation. So the sense organs are symbolically offered into the fire, symbolic fire of sense control. Okay. And that to what type of sense organs? The extrovert sense organs. The extrovert sense organs, the outrunning sense organs are the oblation here. The extravert sense organs. Which means what? The extravert sense organs are destroyed. They are consumed by what? By the sense control fire. So by doing sense control, the extravert sense organs are consumed. Okay, that effect are nullified. So in all the agnya cycle, something has to be consumed and something should be fired. So this is what the example here is. So in sense control, what is destroyed? The extravert sense organs, they are no more extravert anymore. Destroyed means what? They are no more extravert anymore. The extravert sense organs are no more extravert anymore. They have been curbed. They have been curbed. Symbolic destruction. It's not a physical destruction. It is a symbolic destruction. And this destruction is caused by what? The fire of sense control. Dama. So now, this is Indriya Samyama Yajna. This Yajna is called Indriya Samyama Yajna. And that is what is said here. Samyama Agnishu Shrotradini Indriyani. Samyama Agnishu Shrotradini Indriyani. The sense organs. Indriyani. Like the ears, the eye, all these are all sense organs, right? The ear sense organ, eye sense organ, nose sense organ, touch, all those things. They are all offered. Jukvadi means they offer. The people offer. This is one yajna. So in the sense control fire, sense organs are offered. The second yajna, another yajna is pointed out, and what is that? Even if we control our sense organs, now you control your sense organs, okay. People take a lot of effort to control sense organs. We cannot completely stop our sense organs. Can we stop them? No, you can control them, but you cannot stop them. Whether you like it or not, some ear is always open. You may not want to hear, but they will enter. You may not want to see, but it will be seen. You walk in the road. Even the food that you consume, you have to see what you are eating. Right? So, you have all these things are still there. They will get crashed into you. They will come still into you. So, even if you want to control them, they are still going to be coming into you. Right? So, you cannot stop them. You can try to control them. You cannot stop them. So, sense perception cannot be totally stopped at all. Sense perception cannot be stopped at all. So, some inevitable things will have to be perceived by us whether we like it or not. These are all inevitable things. They're so, at least, when we eat, we have to at least see the food, what we eat. Right? So, similarly, ears also, all those things. So, in sense control, what do we normally do? In sense control, we are choosing. I will not eat pavakai. I will not eat that food. I will not eat this food. I can have control. I will have only coffee without sugar. Control. I can do all that. So in sense control, I can have control. We don't put any rubbish thing into the mouth. Control. No problem at all. So we censor them very well in sense control. In sense control, we can censor them. Is it proper to allow them to enter into my system or not? I can make the decision and I can control it. That is sense control. So no admission of anything without my permission. That is sense control. So nothing will be allowed. So now it's like a negative thought detector. So it will detect, oh, this is not going to be good for me. Stop it. We can. And a sadhaka allows lot of things to go inside after censoring them. He censors them first and then allows them to go. So he monitors them, he filters them, then he allows them to go inside. In sense control. So when that happens, he is seeing the sense objects, perceiving the sense objects, and he has got a special attitude. What is that? He looks upon that itself as another type of yajna. Instead of just calling it sense control and all that, he calls it as another yajna. So here sense perception becomes an yajna. There sense control was yajna. Here sense perception is an yajna. So here sense perception, in the sense perception, what he does? The fire for oblation is what? Very, very simple. Here the sense organs are the fire. Right? There sense control. Here sense organs. Sense control was fire. And the indriyas were the oblation. Here, sense perception, the sense organs are the fire, that is the homogundam here, and the sense objects are the oblation. The sense organs were oblation, sense control was fire. Here, sense perception is the fire, and what is oblation? Sense objects are the oblation, or the sense objects. So, five types of oblation are poured in five types of homogundam. What are those? Shabda oblation is poured into the yashro. Shabda oblation. Sparsha is poured into twak. Twak is the skin. touch. And again the rupa oblation pours into the eyes, right? And rasa, tongue. And gandha, the granendriyam, the nose. Yeah, first oblation is what? In sense control. Sense control is the fire. And all the sense organs are the oblation. Now in the perception, in sense perception is the fire. Because you cannot stop it, they get crashed into the perceive. So sense perception is the fire. And what do? The sense objects are the oblation. Whatever is the sense objects that may cause the whatever problem you may have. So that becomes itself as the oblation. The sense objects become the oblation. Then you filter it in such a way, well, this is not something that I should be seeing, this is not good for. That filtering process you do with your brain. So you have to be alert all the time. You cannot just let anything come into you. So you have to be alert all the time, this is going to be doing good to me or not. So each time you ask that question and then take it. So that itself becomes the oblation.
So here we are choosing the right oblation.
Right oblation. So whatever will do good to you, we'll choose. Okay, so varieties of sense objects are offered into the sense objects as the fire. Remembering after sensory, you have sensor because there are something you need. So you will take something you do not need, which is not going to do to you. So it is said, anye, some other sadhagas, anye, jukvati, they also offer what? Shabdadin vishayam. Shabdadin vishayam means shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, all those things. Shabdadin, the sense objects in the form of shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, and gandha into what? Indriyam, indriya agnishu, into the fire of sense organs. Indriya is sense organs. So in the previous yaga, sense organs are oblation, and in this yajna, sense organs are the fire. So it is the same thing, look at it differently. So two yagas have been mentioned here. One is Indriya Samyama Yaga and another is Vishaya Samyama Yaga. Vishaya is sense objects. Indriyas are sense organs. Right? Clear? So Vishaya Samyama, Vishaya Grahana Yaga. Sarvani Indriya Karmani.
Sarvani Indriya Karmani. Sarvani Indriya Karmani.
Prana Karmani Chapare.
Prana Karmani Chapare.
Sarvani Indriya Karmani, Prana Karmani Chapare.
Sarvani Indriya Karmani, Prana Karmani Chapare. Sarvani Indriya Karmani, Prana Karmani Chapare.
Atma Samyama Yoga Agnau.
Atma Samyama Yoga Agnau. Atma Samyama Yoga Agnau.
Jukvati Jnana Deepite.
Jukvati Jnana Deepite. Jukvati Jnana Deepite.
Atma Samyama Yoga Agnau. Jukvati Jnana Deepite.
Atma Samyama Yoga Agnau. Jukvati Jnana Deepite. Atma Samyama Yoga Agnau. Jukvati Jnana Deepite.
So in this 27th shloka, one other sadhana is mentioned, namely mind control. Mind control is what? Shama. So sense control is Dhamma. This is mind control is Shama. Mind control. Otherwise called Atma Samyama. This is Atma Samyama. That is Indriya Samyama. This is Atma Samyama. Atma here is mind. Atma is not Satchidananda Atma. Atma is not Satchidananda Atma. It is Atma is mind. Mind control. Samyama. So if this is compared to an Yajna again, what is the fire and what is the oblation? We have to see. If it is mind control, what is the fire in this and what is the oblation? So the fire is mind control itself is a fire. Like sense control, mind control is the fire. And the oblation is what? The oblations are the activities of all the 10 sense organs. They are the oblations. The activities of all the 10 sense organs. Sarvani Indriya Karmani. Sarvani Indriya Karmani. Indriya Karmani what? Jnana Indriya Karmani. All the activities of the Jnana Indriyas. The 5 organs of perception. The 5 sense organs. And Karmani. Karmani their activities. All their activities. And Prana Karmani. Prana Karmani is what? Prana Karmani stands for the Karmendriyani. All the Karmendriyas, all the Jnanendriyas, sense organs, and all the organs of action. What are the actions of organs of action? Vak, Pani, Padam, Payu, Upastha. Vak is the speech. Pani, Grahanam, and then Pada, the legs, and Payu, and Upastha are the excretory and the reproducing organs. So all the Jnanendriya, Karmendriya, Karmani, all those things, all of them are offered as ahutis into this sense control, into this mind control. So whatever extrovert sense organs, both Jnanendriya and Karmendriya, they want to do, I do not allow them to do as what they want to do. I do not allow them to do whatever they want to do. I only allow only those things that are to be done. I don't allow them to do whatever they want to do. The tongue may like to take more sweets, but I tell them karma. So that's what I do. Okay. So when they are not proper karmas, by mind control, I stop them. By controlling my mind, I stop them. So whenever this is, you know, we have to differentiate between what is hunger and what is taste. Something is tasty, I want to take more. No. If it is for hunger, I have to satisfy hunger. I should take whatever is required for satisfying hunger. So when the tongue is about to eat and the mind tells, I will not give you, the mind will tell, I will not give you, then the tongue's activity is stopped or curtailed, or we can say destroyed. The tongue's activity is destroyed and the mind stops it. It's not giving it. So the destruction is done by the mind, mind control. So tongue's activity is offered in the form of oblation into the shama fire. This my sense, the mind control fire. So there are symbolic, you should understand. It's not some fire on, it's a symbolic thing. So actual sadhana, that we can understand quickly how to exercise mind control. So only thing is what? We have to connect it. How the symbolic comparison functions with the process of mind control. So only symbolic thing. Further, what we should know? What is destroyed and what is the destroyer? That's what we should know. That's what is being discussed here. So destroyed is the oblation and destroyer is the fire. In the mind control fire, all these various these things are all destroyed. So unnecessary activities are destroyed and so they are called oblation. All unnecessary activities which are not productive, which are going to do harm to me, they are all destroyed. So mind control destroys them and so becomes the fire or destroyer. And in this comparison, actually we also can have one extension. And what is that? Normally, when a priest performs an yajna, whatever priest performs an yajna, he offers some oblations into the fire. That's what he does, the oblation. Then we can see, he also does fanning of the fire. He kindles the fire. Right? He offers the yajna, he does. After some time, he will kindle the fire. There will be a lot of smoke. He will kindle it, he will blow. He will have a fan or have a fan. All this he does to kindle the fire. Because what happens? After some time, the fire might become feeble. Right? You offer so many oblations, the fire might become a little feeble, so oblation cannot be consumed properly. If the mind is, fire is not strong. So he has to kindle the fire. So they kindle it. So here also, the shama fire, shama is mind control. The mind control fire, it stops. Or it stops all our unwanted, unethical, immoral, all those sense activities, it stops. That's what mind control does. But generally, the shama fire becomes once in a while feeble, weak. Even though it is supposed to curtail all the unwanted things, sometimes by temptation, or sometimes, whatever it is, it becomes weak. Mind becomes weak. So one day, you know, we can go to some spiritual talk somewhere, or listen to something else somewhere. At that time, we are tempted to read some nice things. And another day, we are in some company, there may be some garbage. You know, some film fire, cine blitz, all those things are all there. You want to read them, right? So at that time, mind control loses its power to all these things. That means it has become feeble at that time. So keeping the shama, mind control, is very difficult all the time. It is called Purana Vairagyam and the Smashana Vairagyam, right? You go to somebody died, so you go to the smashana with somebody, they are all talking, oh, Ram Nam Satya, only Ram Nam alone is Satya, everything is. So you say all that thing and go up to that place and the guy is cremated, come back, even you don't have to wait for coming back to home. The moment you take back the bus or something to come home, immediately so many other things have come into the mind. That Vairagya goes away just like that. Same thing Purana Vairagya also, you go to a discourse, listen to some nice thing and all somebody says, how everything is anityam, if this is what is Brahma Satyam, all that thing you listen, moment you get out of that, everything goes away. So mind can lose its control. Right? It is like keeping the fire going. We should kindle that. So just as the fire is maintained by constant fanning, this shama fire has to be maintained by what? jnana deepite. The shama fire has to be kept on going by jnana deepa, by jnanam or viveka shakti. The ability to clear jnana refers to the viveka shakti. What is good and what is not good. What is permanent, what is ephemeral, one has to grab that thing. So, with what is right and wrong, what is dharma, what is adharma, that knowledge, that has to be there all the time to keep this sense control, this mind control fire going. And that should keep the Atma Samyama together. Atma Samyama means what? Mind control. Atma here is not Satyananda Atma, it is mind, Atma Samyama. You should have to keep it together. So, Deepita, kindle, fan. That's what you should do. So, Jnanam. Jnanam here is Viveka. Here, Jnanam is not the Atma Jnanam, it is Viveka, the Viveka Shakti. It has to fan that. So, Jnana Deepite, Shama Agna. Into the fire of mind control, which is kindled by proper viveka shakti, so people offered the unwanted, unethical, immoral activities into the fire of mind control and enjoyed the benefit of having such a control of mind. So this is another kind of oblation, another this thing. So from sloka 18, karmani, karmanya karma pashyet, from that sloka, this topic of Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga was started up to the 24th shloka, where it ended. And the 25th shloka to 33rd shloka, he is glorifying. And in this 25th shloka, Krishna talked about these things. Dravya yajnastapo yajna.
Dravya yajnastapo yajna.
Yoga yajnastatapare.
Yoga yajnastatapare.
Dravya yajnastapo yajna, yoga yajnastatapare.
Dravya yajnastapo yajna, yoga yajnastatapare. Dravya yajnastapo yajna, yoga yajnastatapare.
Svadhyaya jnana yajnascha.
Svadhyaya jnana yajnascha. Svadhyaya jnana yajnascha.
Yataya samshita vrataha. Svadhyaya jnana yajnascha yataya samshita vrataah.
Svadhyaya jnana yajnascha yataya samshita vrataah. Svadhyaya jnana yajnascha yataya samshita vrataah.
So in this shloka Krishna mentions a few more sadhanas. He says dravya yajna, tapo yajna, yoga yajna, svadhyaya yajna and jnana. So these are all other yajnas Krishna is talking about here. Five sadhanas. They are all mentioned in this shloka as yajnas. All of them are mentioned as yajnas. He does not explain here what is the oblation. He only mentions what the yajnas are. There he mentioned what is the yajna, what is the fire, what is the oblation he mentioned earlier. Here he is not mentioning what is the oblation, what is the agni and all, he is not mentioning. Because why? He expects us to know now. Because he has taught there. So he is going to expect us to know. It's a homework for all of us. So if you are not able to fill up, that means what? We have not understood the previous shloka very well. Right? That's what he does. So dravya yajna. Dravya yajna is what? Charity. All this dharma, the charity. So patreshu dravya viniyoga. So you are giving away gifts, charity to people. Giving any material to a deserving person. Very important. Giving a material to a deserving person. Either cash or kind. Kind, it could be anything. No problem at all. Charity is an yajna. The act of charity itself is an yajna. And here also there must be a fire and oblation, right? That we have to understand. Krishna is saying that. We have to understand that. So, the deserving person to whom it is given, he is the fire. The deserving person to whom you give the charity, that is the Agni Kunda, the fire. And whatever is offered, whether it is money or service or whatever it is, that is the oblation. Whatever is offered is the oblation. So if you give a dollar to a beggar, the beggar is the fire, $1 is the oblation. Okay, that is the offering, the oblation. So it looks as though money is destroyed, right? But what actually happens is greed, is loba, is destroyed through this yajna. It is not he is destroying money by giving to that guy. But what he is destroyed? His greed, that I want to hold that money to myself. that he is giving away. Right? So that attitude of greed, that attitude of possessiveness, that is destroyed. So that is why it is called a yajna. Charity becomes a yajna because of that. He shares, he earned that money by doing labor. And that he shares to somebody else. So that is because money didn't come to him just like that. He did work, he earned it. That he shares with somebody. That is charity. And what is the next yajna? Next yajna is tapo yajna, tapas. Discipline or austerities. They are all tapas. Discipline. Willful self-denial. This is willfully I do that to establish my mastery over my sense organs. On Ekadashi, I will not take any food. Means what? Willful denial. I am telling myself I won't take anything. In the process, what do I do? I am not allowing my tongue to eat whatever it wants to eat. It cannot eat. My stomach cannot take any food. So I am controlling. I am trying to establish my mastery over my organs. That's what I do. This is the willful denial. Discipline or austerity. So I myself will say no to everything. Sometime or the other, so that I can prove that I will be happy even without that particular thing. That is to whom I should prove? To myself. I am trying to prove to myself that I am not dependent on anything else to have my happiness. That's what I am trying to do by this sadhana. This is a tapas. So I make use of things, but I don't want to be a slave to things. I can make use of anything, but I cannot be a slave to anything. So making use of things is intelligence. Whatever is nature given to you, to make use of them, that is intelligence. But to be a slave of anything is foolishness. Right? So because it is against the concept of liberation. If I want to be liberated, how can I be slave to anything? So if I have to be liberated, I cannot be slave to anything. So the very concept of liberation itself will be falsified the moment I become slave to anything. Any habit, any material, whatever it is. Any relationship, doesn't matter. So I cannot be slave. So liberation and slavery can never go together. Liberation and slavery can. So whether it is fasting or whether you observe mauna, some people observe mauna. They don't speak on certain days. Or Guruvara days, they won't speak. There are people like that. So all these austerities are to establish mastery over the tongue. The eating tongue, the speaking tongue, to observe mauna. You make a guy not to speak for 2 hours, why 2 hours? Some people give a few minutes. Very tough. So to observe maunam is a tapas. It's a big tapas. So if discipline is an yajna, so tapas, discipline, if it is an yajna, here also what is offered into what? That we have to understand. What is offered into what? The discipline is offered into discipline. Indiscipline is offered into discipline. The indiscipline is offered into discipline. So the discipline destroys indiscipline. Discipline destroys it. So discipline becomes fire and indiscipline becomes oblation. So when you say tapo yajna, indiscipline is the oblation and discipline is the fire. And the next yajna is yoga. Yoga yajna. Yoga stands for the Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali. Patanjali has got this Ashtanga Yoga. Okay. Patanjali, he is a great rishi and he has written Yoga Sutras. Yoga Sutras are written by him, in which he talks about 8 stages of practice. Ashtanga Yoga means 8 stages of practice to get complete control over our personality. So to have complete control over our personality, he prescribes 8 stages of yoga practices. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So these are the 8 Ashtanga Yogas. Prescribed by Patanjali. Now we will have to find out our personality, how organized, how this is organized by this. Yama and Niyama, they talk about the don'ts and the do's. What are to be done, what are not to be done, these are all prescribed in these shastras. So, the activities discipline is gained through Yama and Niyama. Whatever activity I want to do, the discipline in that activity is gained by following what can be done, what should not be done. So Yama stands for not doing what should not be done and Niyama doing what has to be done. Not doing what should not be done and doing what has to be done. These are actually 2 stages. Control at the activity level itself. At the activity level, control them. And the next thing is what? Asana. Asana is controlled at the body level. So this yama niyama control at the activity level. This is the next one, asana, is controlled at the body level. The physical body has got a lot of disharmony. The physical body has got a lot of disharmony. Even certain organs are more active. My right hand is more active than left hand. Some people. Alright. So some organs are more active, some are less active, some others do not act at all. These are all possible. So there is disharmony in the various organs, the way they act. Therefore, disciplining the physical body is asana. So you do so many asanas so that you will be able to equip all the organs of your body to perform whatever functions they are supposed to perform. Right? Then pranayama. Pranayama is the discipline in breathing, the breathing exercise. Abnormal breathing, it can create so many diseases. Abnormal breathing, just a change of breathing can bring about lot of changes into the health condition. So if you go to a yoga teacher, he will teach you how to do proper pranayama. By practicing the proper pranayama exercise, several diseases can be cured. It's possible to do that. So in the yoga therapy, many of the diseases, they are cured just by changing the way you breathe. So harmonizing the prana, that is pranayama. Then pratyahara. Pratyahara means harmonizing the sense organs, sense control, or dhamma. That is pratyahara. Dhamma of Vedanta is pratyahara of Yoga Shastra. In Vedanta we call it dhamma, sense control. And in Yoga Shastra it is called pratyahara. We already saw sense control over here. And dharana. Dharana means fixing the mind and the senses in one field. Focus, concentration. That is dharana. And dhyanam. Dhyanam is holding in that position without distraction. You hold it in that position without any distraction. That is dhyanam. And finally samadhi. Samadhi is absorption. Absorption means getting completely lost in that particular thought or in that object. That is samadhi. So the external activities and coming, you know, interior. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, all of them, they are all harmonized. In this process, they are all harmonized. In this yoga shastra, Patanjali's Ashtanga yoga shastra harmonizes all these various faculties. So in Vedanta, we accept the practice of yoga shastra. We accept this for the harmonizing of the physical and mental personality. You have to understand this clearly. We accept yoga shastra for harmonizing the physical and mental personality, for disciplining the vijnanamaya kosha. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, fine. For disciplining the vijnanamaya kosha, we don't take to yoga shastra. Yoga shastra we take to for these things, for the physical personality and the mental personality. But for vijnanamaya kosha, we don't take to yoga shastra. For jnanam, we come to what? Vedanta shastra. So from yoga shastra, you take yoga shastra for this discipline. But for Vijnanamaya Kosha, which addresses Jnana Marga, you come to Vedanta Shastra, you cannot stay with Yoga Shastra anymore. Because Yoga Shastra has got a philosophy in itself, which is not accepted by the Vedantins. This is a subtle point. Yoga Shastra has got some philosophy, which is not accepted by Vedantins. So Yoga Shastra has got a practice and a philosophy. It has got a practice, it has got a philosophy also. Practice part of it is acceptable to Vedantins, but the philosophy part is not acceptable to the Vedantins. So for knowledge, we quietly come to Vedanta. So you discipline the body, harmonize the mind, all these things do very well. Then for jnanam, come to Vedanta Shastra. Don't stick to Yoga Shastra anymore. You use Yoga Shastra to achieve these two objectives and come to Jnana Marga, Vedanta Shastra for gaining jnana. And that is why Krishna has included yoga as an abhyasa. Krishna has used yoga as an abhyasa, spiritual sadhana. It's a practice. It is meant for what? The harmonization of the whole personality. Physical personality, psychological personality, the spiritual personality. All of them have to be harmonized in a person. Making all of them into one. That is absolute harmony. And that is called here yoga yajna. When he talks about yoga yajna, this is the harmonization of the physical personality, the psychological personality, and the spiritual personality. All of them. So, if this is the yajna, then what is offered into what? Again, you get to understand. Disharmony of the personality is offered into harmony of the personality. As indiscipline was offered into discipline, here disharmony is offered into harmony. So harmony becomes the agni which destroys disharmony. Oblation is disharmony. And the fourth yajna is what? Swadhyaya yajna. We are talking about five yajnas. Swadhyaya yajna is the fourth yajna. Swadhyaya means what? Studying this scriptural text, all the scriptures, studying them. Veda adhyayana. Veda adhyayana is swadhyaya. Actually, the study of scriptures involves actually two types of study. A study of the text itself by heart, without study of the meaning initially. In our tradition, when the child is very young, we make the child to memorize everything, dump so many things into the child and make the child memorize, because that is the time the memory is very alert, the child can grasp anything. So just to make them memorize everything, so all the mantras just go in there. Then later, slowly, try to teach the meaning to them. Okay. So they believed that because if a shastram has to be understood thoroughly, the basic thing is the whole text that must be in the mind. That is how our Rishis believed. If somebody has to understand Gita thoroughly, they should know the entire Gita by heart. They should know Gita very well, then they will be able to relate to the Gita shlokas and understand that meaningfully. Then only one can get the whole idea. Otherwise you can get ideas, no. That is why normally people say, Sarvadharman Paritya Mamekam Saranamitya. Krishna told, abandon all the sins, no problem at all. You can abandon all dharmas, only you can come to me, I will take care of everything. So you can be whatever way you want. That is how they will think. Because they try to interpret things piece by piece, that is not correct. So they should not do that. So when we go to the 12th chapter again, we will forget the first chapter. And we go to 15th chapter, we will forget 12th chapter, all these things will happen. So we will never get the picture of the whole Gita Shastram at all, unless we know at least to start with. So even if we don't know it thoroughly, at least we should be familiar with the whole text, where is what chapter tells what things, which are the important shlokas, at least that much we should be familiar with. Otherwise the comprehension will be incomplete. This people, we can experiment in day to day life, no problem at all. This is what our tradition believed in this particular practice, that's why they emphasize it all the time. So in any study of Shastras, the first part is just to study by heart the text. So that's why they, in those days, for Vedas, they were never taught with any books. Even today, in Padashalas, they don't give prescribed books for Vedanta. So, for Vedas, they just make the child to repeat whatever is taught, and the child goes on repeating it mechanically, done every day. So they should remember the basic text. It is not only for Vedanta, for Tarka, all Shastras, whether it is Tarka Shastra, or Nyaya Shastra, Mimamsa Shastra, doesn't matter, Jyotisha, everywhere they memorized all the shlokas, they did all of them. So even now the pandits of any Shastra, they can tell without any book, the entire, all the shlokas they can just recite. That is why they are also in the shloka form, easy to memorize. If it is a poetry, it is easy to memorize. Normally why they memorize, many of them in song fashion, the Saundarya, if you read, nobody will remember. You say it as a song, then everybody will remember. It's easy. So they make it that way, so to make people understand. So first is what? Grantha Grahana. You have to first learn just the text. Grantha Grahana. Or Shabda Grahana, whichever you want to tell. And the second stage is what? Second stage is Artha Grahana. So having got the shlokas, you have to now know the meaning. Artha Grahana. The study of the meaning. And for the teacher also, it is very easy then. He can say that this shloka is parallel to the one in the second chapter very easily. He can understand. He can relate to that. So for the teacher also, it becomes easy to explain, because he will bring similarities and all from this shloka and the shloka that was done earlier. So the student will remember. Otherwise, whatever shloka the teacher quotes, it will look like a new shloka. Sometimes when we quote from a previous chapter, it will look like a new shloka to us. So all chapters will look alike only. So, in the case of Veda, the Shabda Grahanam part, the study of the text by heart, that is called Swadhyaya. In Vedas, the Shabda Grahanam part is called Swadhyaya or Adhyayana, Veda Adhyayana. And study of the meaning, that is called Mimamsa or analysis. I am giving only various concepts now. So, study of the mantra portion, that is called Adhyayana, Swadhyaya. And study of the meaning is called a Mimamsa or analysis. So one is Adhyayanam, another is Mimamsa. So Veda Adhyayanam is Shabda Grahanam, and Veda Mimamsa is Artha Grahanam. Shabda Grahana and Artha Grahana. So in either of these, even though we may understand, the mind has got its own weakness. And so after some time, whatever we have studied gradually goes away, gets erased. So even though we might understand initially, after some time they get erased. So Veda Adhyayanam not only means the study of Vedas, but also includes regular Parayana. That is why in those days, they have prescribed what is known as Brahma Yajna Prashnam every day. So you are supposed to do, in addition to you are doing Sandhya Vandana Karmas, you are supposed to do what is known as Brahma Yajna every day. In that one section, some portion of the Vedas that you learned, you keep on reciting every day. So in a year, you would have recited the whole Veda, whatever you have learned, so many times. There are Saptakandas in Krishna Yajurveda. So you will recite all of them within so many times in a year so that you will never forget. This is called Brahma Yajna Prashnam. They made it as a practice. They made it as a requirement. So study by heart and later regularly do Parayanam so that what has been studied by heart will not be forgotten. Okay? Otherwise we can see, you know, even after, you know, even Gita Dhyana Shlokas, if not chanted regularly, even the second, it's, you know, people will forget very quickly. Okay, so this is not just any particular person's weakness. This is natural. This is not somebody's weakness alone. For everybody, when they don't practice, they will forget. Similarly, Vedanta also, people will forget. So if you study the meaning, it will remain. And after some time, it will tend to be forgotten also, if you don't practice it. Therefore, that also has to be maintained. For that only, they kept this practice called Nididhyasana. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana. Shravanam, we know, you listen to Vedantic concepts. Mananam, you try to analyze so that all your doubts and all that thing will be removed, so that your knowledge will become firm knowledge. And Nididhyasana, you keep on practicing it day in and day in and day out, every minute, so that you will live that. Otherwise, this will be concepts. Aham Brahmasmi will be a concept. But if I don't live Aham Brahmasmi, I cannot say Aham Purnosmi. You cannot say Aham Triptosmi. You will never say, because always you will be looking for this and that to make you Purnaha, to make you completely satisfied. You will always be looking for this and that. So Aham Purnosmi will never come if you never practice Aham Brahmasmi every minute, every second. We should be practicing that. That is why it's called Nididhyasana. Both are meant to avoid forgetfulness, because our Viparita Bhavana, all those various, you know, things, my habitual tendencies of who I am, all that thing will immediately come. The moment I think I am Brahman, that's fine, but habitually what? I am only so many feet, so many inches tall, weighing so many pounds, so and so, father, son, all those things will come. It will make you forget your own Swarupa, Brahman Swarupa, right? That's what we should do. So Nididhyasana is practice. And here both of them are compared to yajnas. The first one is called Swadhyaya Yajna. The study of scriptural text and regular Parayana is called Swadhyaya Yajna. And if this is compared to yajna, what is the fire and what is the oblation again? That also we should understand. Ignorance and forgetfulness, they are the oblation. Ignorance and forgetfulness are oblation. So forgetfulness will be destroyed by abhyasa. By regularly practicing it, forgetfulness will be destroyed. Into what? Into remembrance. Right? Into knowledge or remembrance. So by practicing, regular practice, forgetfulness will be destroyed into remembering that. So this becomes the fire. So this is called Swadhyaya Yajna. And then Jnana Yajna. Jnana Yajna is Mimamsa. Mimamsa, the analysis of the scriptures. And here also what? What is offered into what? Ignorance of the meaning of the text is offered into the knowledge of the meaning of the text. So once you know the meaning of the text, in that knowledge, the ignorance is offered. Therefore, ignorance is destroyed. When it is given as an oblation, ignorance is destroyed. So previously, ignorance of the words is destroyed when you practice them very well, the recitation part. And here, ignorance of the meaning is destroyed when you gain knowledge. So here we have got, actually here we have to note one more point. Because the word Jnana Yajna is mentioned here, already we have talked about Jnana Yajna in the 25th shloka itself, where Jivatma was offered into Paramatma. Right? In that Jnana Yajna we already talked. Because here also what? We have Jnana Yajna here. Is it a repetition? Because that question might come. Yeah, there also we spoke about Jnana Yajna, but Jivatma was offered into Paramatma. Here also we are talking about Jnana Yajna. Is it a repetition? That question might come. So what we do is, that Jnana Yajna refers to the Brahma Jnana. That Jnana Yajna refers to Brahma Jnana, and here Jnana refers to other knowledge, not Brahma Vidya. Knowledge refers to remember Veda mantras. That is not Brahma Vidya. So the Veda mantras they are. To remember anything. So you have to practice. So like, you know, Karma Ganda Jnana, Tarka Jnana, Vedanta, this, you know, Vyakarana Jnana, all those other Jnana, all those other knowledge. So allied sciences, they are all allied sciences, not the actual Brahma Vidya itself. So previously, Jnana Yajna refers to Vedanta Jnana Yajna, and here it is, everything supportive of Vedanta Jnana. All those things, Tarka, Mimamsa, they are all supportive of Vedanta Jnana, including language. They are all in Sanskrit language, so somebody has to study the language. Even the knowledge of that language, one has to, if you don't practice it, you will forget that also. So, five yajnas have been pointed out in this shloka. Dravya yajna means what? Charity. Tapo yajna, austerity. Yoga yajna, practice of yoga abhyasa. And swadhyaya yajna, study and parayanam. And jnana yajna, analyzing the meaning other than Vedanta. So, all these are various yajnas. And who practices them? Yatayaha. The shloka says, yatayaha, those committed, those sincere seekers, yatayaha, and samshita prataha, they are people of firm resolve, conviction. If you don't have conviction, you might do practice one day, and then it is like the New Year resolution. You make New Year resolution, everybody makes New Year resolution, do exercise, maybe next to be 1 week, following week, and that's it, that goes away. So this is samshita prataha, people of firm resolve, firm conviction. Pratham here means vow or resolve. Samshita means strong or firm resolve. Because any type of discipline requires what? Willpower. If the willpower is not there, you will not be perseverant. So if it is lacking, nothing will work actually. So in the beginning we are okay, so even getting up early in the morning is a problem otherwise. Always keep the alarm 5 o'clock, 5:30, whatever time it is. Saturday comes, today only Saturday. Sunday, never wake up. Saturday, at least 10 o'clock. So, if you have to consistently do it without willpower, it will not work. We have to. So, who observes you? Yourself first. We have to justify to whom first? Not to anybody else. We have to justify to ourselves first. Then only we will be committed, we will be perseverant. So, the first tapas is what? I have to take a firm resolve. I have to make a conviction that I am going to do that. So, whatever I plan to do, whether fasting or maunam or whatever I want to observe, charity or daily yoga abhyasa, anything, I have to stick to it. So, I have to be firmly committed to that. And this is what they call yatayaha samshita vrataha. Some seekers practice these yajnas with a firm resolve. More we will see in the next class. Yo veda idam swaram prakto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti leenasya.